Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, my name's Daryl Ong, and you're tuned in to Bar None, your weekly sports show that keeps you in touch with the ins and outs of the sporting world. Off the back of a bronze medal at the recent ASEAN Para Games, this week we catch up with Sunny Salash and Edwin Roque, who are both coaches of the Malaysian blind football team, who are also ranked 16th in the world. Many questions to ask, and especially, we start off with the obvious one. How exactly is blind football played?
Blind football actually is played in a typical futsal size, 40 by 20, but it's played outdoors. Outdoors on artificial turf. What happens here is that the pitch is outdoor because to cut off any echo, for blind football, we have actually two sideboards. You know, it's 40-meter sideboards left and right. Mm-hmm. In that case, blind football, the ball is always in play. So when the ball actually hits the board, it's a 4 feet high board and a 40-meter long left and right. So when the ball actually hits the board, the player actually detects the sound because the ball has some bearings embedded in it. And that is how the players actually go after the ball. So the boards are actually a side kickboard and a side barrier for the players. Mm. The players involved in blind football are actually four fully blind players. They are blindfolded. Being blind, there's different degrees of visual impairments.
Yeah.
Some of them actually can detect objects, you know. Some of them can detect movement, and some of them can detect light. And amazingly, the goalkeepers are actually sighted. In blind football, the goalkeepers are always fully sighted.
Okay.
It's a five-a-side football, which is called five-a-side football in Paralympics. So you have four outfield blind players and one-sided goalkeeper, which is actually standing in a very, very small zone. It's something like 2 meters by 7 meters. That's the only D-box he has.
Okay.
And he can't come out of his zone to stop a shot. And something unique about blind football is that when the game is being played, the stadium is totally silent.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. It's kind of like a tennis match, right?
Yeah. So that to allow the players to actually listen to the commands by the coaches in respective zones, and also most importantly to locate where is the ball.
Right.
Yep.
Got you. So there are no outs, or even corners.
Yeah, there are corners. There are corners, there are penalties, there are set pieces, everything is there, but the side barrier board actually keeps the ball in play.
But then they have a goal guide behind the goalpost.
I see.
Who guide you to bring the ball nearer to the goalpost. When you stand behind the goalpost, you can tell your players, hey, there are two fellas in front of you, and then you beat him, and then take a shot.
Okay, so the goal guide is separate from the goalkeeper. I assume it'd be the goalkeeper that's actually shouting, you know, the orders. And
behind
stuff.
The opponent.
Oh, behind the opponent.
Behind the opponent goalkeeper.
These are the questions actually people ask us when we talk about blind football. Hmm. How do they know where's the ball in the pitch?
Yeah.
How do they avoid collisions? Hmm. Well, blind football is actually played because they cannot see, so they rely totally on communications. It's divided into three zones. Just like any other football match, you know, you have three zones. You have defending third, you have mid third, and you have attacking third, and then you reverse it from the other side. It's the same. There are lines on the field, which actually explains whose role is within this zone. So, example, if the goalkeeper and the opponent's goal guide, when I say the opponent's goal guide, means the person standing behind my goalkeeper is an opponent's goal guide. Now, they can only communicate in a 12-meter zone.
So when the ball passes a certain area?
When the ball reaches their zone, only they can communicate with the players. Mm. Everybody else in the defensive, in the mid third and the attacking third is total silence. If anyone says anything, including the coach, it's an infringement. Too many people talking at the same time.
I see. So during the game, only two voices are heard.
Yeah, you hear the voice of the goal guide.
The two goal guides.
Yeah, the two goals on opposite sides. But if the ball is in my opponent's defense, the opponent goalkeeper can command his defenders to do something.
Okay.
And my goal guide, which is standing behind the goalkeeper, is able to direct my strikers to take a shot.
I see.
Yep. While me, standing outside at the middle zone, I have to be silent. And my goalkeeper, standing on the opposite side, has to be total silent.
So is it a case of then, since the coaches can't talk, both of you can't talk during the match at all, you can't talk, shout at your players?
That's why it's the area, the centre part is the coaches, only the coaches. When the ball go above the dotted line, whether it go to our side or the other side, the coaches have to keep quiet.
So is it the case that you have to do extra kind of like pre-amping before the game, since you can't talk when the balls are in certain zones?
You see, the first and most important thing before they get into high-performance competition is like orientation of the field.
Okay.
It is through training that they have become very efficient, that they master the field, and they know how many steps that they run from left to right, board to board, it's a particular zone, or even from goalpost to goalpost, they know, they can estimate their zones.
And these are competition-sized.
Yeah, competition-sized. It's quite straightforward, actually. If the ball is in the middle zone, the ball travels to the middle zone. Only the two coaches are able to communicate with the players, while the other two goalkeepers, total silent.
I see.
If the ball switches to my defense, my goalkeeper speaks, and their goal guide instructs to attack. We are silent.
I see.
Yeah. So this is done so that you try to get not too many people are talking on the field at the same time. So it's very confusing when there's too many people talking at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. That's one of my next questions, actually. You know, so many voices, especially, you know, visually impaired players. I'm sure safety is an issue, right?
Yeah. Safety is...
colliding with each other.
Is a number one concern in blind football. What I said just now was like, somebody asked me, how come they don't collide with each other? Because the fact that they cannot see, so they need to hear. And this is an example. I am running, I am blindfolded. I am running to attack your goalpost. In my run, there will be opponents. So how do I know somebody is standing right in front of me? It's because that since the ball is producing some sound, the opponent is able to also listen to that sound. Now, it takes at least 2 meters for the opponent to actually say a technical term which is called VOY. V-O-Y. VOY states that I'm here. Whenever I hear the ball producing the sound around me, I have to say VOY. In this case, when the striker, which is running with the ball, hears VOY, the striker actually beats the defender.
I see. So, kind of like, okay, I got the ball, give away.
Avoid the player, try to go aside where there's no VOY, sounds VOY. There's no any other person standing on this way. So when I approach you, when you hear the ball, when I bring the ball and you hear the noise of the ball, you will say VOY. So I will avoid you.
So you know I'm here.
Yeah.
I got the ball.
Yeah, no, I'm bringing the ball and you are just standing there. So I know there's somebody in front of me. Whether it's my same teammate or the opponent, I try to avoid you.
To simplify this, it's like mainstream football. I pass the ball, I release the ball when I see an opponent coming. I see an opponent coming. In blind football, I beat you. I release the ball when I hear you.
Right.
That's it, when I hear you.
Talk about the goalkeepers.
Yes.
They're fully sighted. Yes. You know, how do you source them? Why not they just play normal football?
We have a requirement, actually. You know, we know that there are plenty of short stoppers around KL today.
Sure.
Yeah. There are some really good goalkeepers, you know. With due respect to them, they're playing for respectable clubs and teams. But what we felt in blind football is like you just can't be a good shot stopper. Well, I would like a good shot stopper, the best in town has, you know. But then again, it's like they need to have certain characteristics where they must be able to live and understand the blind person, and it's just not training. They have to be there. They have to give themselves to the blind community, to look after the blind, to lead them to the washroom, to feed them, to cross-check on their equipment, to make sure that they don't ram into something, you know. So these are the prerequisites that I ask for a goalkeeper. And we are blessed with 2 goalkeepers who are adults. And one is an audio video tech assistant engineer, and the other is a school teacher.
Okay.
Yeah, we are blessed because they possess these characteristics. Besides being decent average footballers, goalkeepers, through training, we've actually transformed them to be good shortstoppers. You can be the best shortstopper in mainstream futsal, but when that particular goalkeeper stands in blind football, he will still be beaten.
It's a different game.
It's a different game. Yeah, he'll still be beaten. So, but we have trained our goalkeepers well, and they are actually more than a goalkeeper to us. You know, they drive the blind around, so they're doing more than what just technical training requires out of them.
I see.
Yep.
Sunny himself is a first Malaysian blind goalkeeper.
Oh, really?
He is he played as a goalkeeper, so he said, I can save.
So Sunny, you've played normal football, and what are some of the major differences in the game?
Actually, in 2009, when I first started this team, I was actually playing as the goalkeeper. I was the coach. I was the leader of the team. And when we brought the team to Tokyo, well, it was sponsored. It's the first experience of blind football because we wanted to build a team. And when I played in Tokyo in December, that was very cold.
Yeah.
We were playing in the International Blind Sports Federation Asian Championship, where three teams will go to the World Cup. And it's the first time I'm seeing China, Japan, Korea, Iran playing, you know, on their warm-ups and all these things. To me, it was like, whoa, we are so far away from them. I thought to myself that the players being blind, and the only strength the blind football team has is the goalkeeper, because I will be able to stop the shots. But I was wrong. But I was wrong, because the first match, Korea put 5 past me. That woke me up. It's like, you guys are blind. How can you score against me? I would say I'm a
one average, of the best.
Our average decent, you know, keeper. It's during my days,
right,
you know.
Yeah.
So when they did that to me, it's like, this is amazing. You know, a blind person shooting past a sighted goalkeeper. Well, yes, fine. I have a very small area. But then again, the blind athletes, they actually know what to do and how to place the ball, because they're just not kicking the ball, they're poking the ball.
Right.
And when they run with the ball is always close to their feet. So you have excellent ball possession. And when they run with the ball, both feet are active. And suddenly, they actually poke the ball through. So this is something that even the best shot stoppers get beaten in the World Championships. In Blind Football World Championships and in the Paralympics, great futsal goalkeepers are beaten. So what about me, you know? So that's where I realized that when Korea put 5 past me and Iran put 8 past me, everybody asked me, what's happening? You're a sighted goalkeeper. I thought you play well, and how can you let go all these goals? Then I showed the video. I said, you look at the way they play.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of videos, especially in Brazil. They play like the samba version. Yeah.
You just don't know when are they going to take a shot. You see, because it is always on the run. In mainstream football, before somebody slams the ball home goal, you can actually see the biomechanics of this striker, where he will take a shot. You can see the swing, you can see the stretch. You know, you can mark from the body position. Mm. But that doesn't happen in blind football. You just can't make out whether they're just running towards you. They're going to stop the ball, they're going to turn and take a shot. In fact, today, blind footballers do step overs.
Oh, wow.
They do step overs and many other stuff. And I'm actually trying to train my players to do the Crichton. You know?
Wow.
So it's creativity. Why Crichton? Because you can actually confuse your defender. Well, it's very much, we have taught them so many things. Mm. We have taught them to chip the ball over the blind opponent. You know, they'll be running with the ball, and when the blind opponent says why, they're actually able to chip the ball over the opponent and reach across. Mm. So these are tricks in blind football.
They can even pass across. I'm here. So ball to ball, they can pass the ball.
Many different skills.
Yeah.
Sunny, you've been in this for a long time. You even started the club that eventually turned into the national team. What's the hardest part about coaching for yourself?
The challenges are every day, actually. Even today, we are a national team funded by the National Sports Council. There are always challenges, you know, because to coach a blind athlete, specifically football, you just need to gain trust, you know. They really need to respect you. If they do not accept what you say, they will never perform it on the field. You need to create that bond first. Okay. There must be some relationship between you and the athlete first before they willingly carry out a task. So challenges now and challenges before was even worse, you know. We started from nowhere, and it's like when I told people I just came back from Tokyo and I'm coach and I played with the team. This is my picture, this is my video. I have a dream. That is, I would like to build a successful Malaysian blind football team. People were like pouring cold water on me and say, it's like in your dreams, you know. And we are not a blind football nation. So that I take that as challenges, you know. Everything was a challenge, from space, from equipments, from talents. Money was an issue. When we found a space, then we did not have talents. When we had the talents, then we did not have enough soccer balls, you know, blind footballs. And when we had that, then we had transport problems, you know, because they all scattered. So it was a package of everything, you know, a recipe for disaster, like people say. That drives us. And we did it. We actually borrowed money from friends, you know. People were kind enough to donate shoes. Finally, it caught the attention of CIMB Foundation. And that was a turning point. Then things were falling in place.
That is Sunny Salesh and Edwin Roque, both coaches of the Malaysian blind football team. Coming up in part 2, we chat about transitioning from just a blind football club to a national blind football team. Stay tuned, my name is Daryl Ong and this is Bar None on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you tune in to Bar None, your weekly sports show that keeps you in touch with the ins and outs of the sporting world. This week, we've been exploring blind football and its very intriguing game. Picking up where we left off with Sunny Salesh and Edwin Roque, head coach and assistant coach, respectively, of the Malaysian blind football team, where they got a bronze medal at the recent ASEAN Para Games, but also losing the gold that they won in 2015. From what started as just a para sports club to acquiring national status, I wonder how lifted the team felt, considering most of them are amateur turned professional blind footballers.
They were very much excited because, you know, you get paid, you're a professional player. So we train twice a day, they have food, they have the doctors are there. You know, dream come true for Sunny, who started all this from zero. We sailed through, you know, we are bombarded from people. You know, when you go for a tournament, we don't have bags, no shoes. So we are grateful to people like them. And we want to keep on dreaming to go to the World Cup, to reach that goal that we have in our blueprint, to see Malaysia reach that level as a disabled people. We want to give them something in their life.
Did you ever think that we'll reach this point when you first started the club?
We did not set any specific targets. When I first started this, when I got hooked on this, I would say, in 2009. Well, before blind football, I was already coaching disabled football, but various other categories.
Right.
So we did not think that we would go far. But one thing was very certain from the time I started is that we want to equip the blind persons, in particular this blind football, we want to make them into sportsmen. If you ask anyone in the streets of Brickfields, where can I find a blind person, they will say there. What do you see when you find one? They'll probably be walking, crossing the road with a white stick. What do they work? They are probably reflexologists. That was one factor that actually I told myself, that why do they have to be that? Why can't they be icons? Why can't they be sportsmen? Why can't they be footballers? Why can't they be earning a living by playing sports? How do I change their life? I would like to use sports to actually modify their behavior, modify their characteristics, the toughest part. I would like to use football for their social well-being. I would like them to be cheered by the Malaysian society. So that were the beginning factors. And when they became a full-time athlete with National Sports Council in February, just like what Edwin said, dream come true. They are icons. They are national sportsmen. They get salary, they can change their handphones, they can give money to their mom and dad. When they get to meet so many people, you know.
So in a way, not just help them be a better sportsman, but to be a better person?
Yeah, nobody told me to do that. It's just that it's me. I want to do it. We don't have to do this to coach people, but it's the fact that we have a vision. They may be blind, and they can't see, but even they have a vision.
Was it hard to kind of convince, you know, tell me a bit about the inception of the team. You started with your wife. How did you go out to try grab players? You know, was it hard to convince them to join the team?
Yeah, certainly. When the news got out that Malaysia would like to send a team for the first time to Tokyo, who doesn't want to go to Tokyo? Everybody wants to go to Tokyo.
Sure, I want to go to Tokyo.
I was the first, you know. So when news got out that the Malaysian blind football, well, I know someone in the Paralympics division and all this thing, and when they got to know that I was involved in the Brazilian football center in Malaysia, they needed some help. You just apply what you learn in mainstream football, just do a little bit modification. A little bit modification. Yeah. And you just apply it to these athletes. So that is when it started. We started calling for trials. We blasted out news saying that we're looking for blind individuals who would like to play football.
Right.
Now, one thing is very important here is that blind football existed way before 2009. They took a size 5 ball, put it into a plastic bag, they tie it, and they go after that ball. Because why? The plastic produces sound.
Yeah.
Every time when there is no sound, means the plastic bocho. Then they replace with another plastic. You know? That was how blind football started. So when everybody got to know, man, blind football, Malaysia is trying to build a blind football team, and there is a real blind soccer ball does exist. 25 of them came.
Mm.
Well, we personally know 25 of them, you know. Tukang urut, reflexologist, call center operator, and all these things, adults. From there, we actually filtered and we got, they wanted me to only select six.
Okay. Wow, from a group of 25, that has to be really hard, right? To
Six plus me, 1-7, you know, sighted goalkeeper, 1-7. So that is how it's actually started. Today, these boys are no longer playing blind football. Well, they still can play when we organize local championships. They do come back.
Okay.
They do come back. They are actually buskering around. They are married. They are happily living. So the current national team's demand is too high for them. So, you know, phase out. So we have new talents coming in. Mm. That was the first inception of blind football.
Yeah. Many years later, third place in the SEA Games. You failed to defend the gold medal we won in 2015. You know, what are some of the lessons we can learn from this past tournament?
Actually, we played very well. Even the opponent team did play very well. All the teams are in ASEAN Para Games played very well. Everybody has improved drastically. If we improve, they have improved even more. So it's a bit difficult for us to... It's like 50-50 chances because everybody know how to play, you know. Last time only Malaysia and Thailand. Now Laos, Vietnam, you know, they all have improved so much in technique, in playing the game. So... it's a very disappointing. It's disappointing and disappointed of losing the gold medal, but definitely we'll do our best next SEA Games.
So teams are improving in terms of players, but Sunny, in terms of the game itself, do you see any, you know, kind of elevation?
Yeah, the blind football has evolved definitely, but the question of why did we lose the gold medal in the first place? Well, that's the thing that everybody wants to know. We were a very entertaining team. If you ask any coach, well, you have statistics of 24 shots at goal and nothing goes in. Is that coaching error or is that player's error? I don't know how to describe this thing. So we played, everything was well. The periodization of the team, the physical aspect, the psychology aspect, the medical team, conditioning, technical, tactical, was an excellent package. Malaysian blind football team peaked at the right time. Unfortunately, I lost a key player.
Okay.
I lost a key player 2 days before the tournament started. He busted his meniscus. An excellent player who tried very hard, who worked very hard to build his physical, you know, strength. And that was the game plan. Mm. So when I lost that player and actually lost another striker, the top striker in Singapore, he was also injured and we had to actually leave him out. Well, then again, that's no excuse. We have always backup plans. So the defender of the team actually had to work overtime, up and down, and he did his job. So and the opponents kept the pressure on us. So we actually lost two games, you know. Another factor here is because of the stakes against the Malaysia team. You're playing in Malaysia and the spotlight this year.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure whether the boys could cope with the media attention, because everybody wants a piece of them. Yeah, well, we can't snub anyone anyway. When we won the gold, everybody supported us. The media played so much to elevate us and tell, look here guys, this is a blind football team, is an ASEAN champion. So handling the pressure locally, they went all out. So then, like what Edwin said earlier, is like Thailand and Laos actually knew how we played.
Right, they knew your game.
Yeah, they knew how we played, and we knew how they played too. It's just that we could not convert. Mm. We could not convert. When you play well, you have 54 passes and you have 24 shots at goal. That's a good team. That is a good team. It did not go in.
Sometimes luck does get into the picture.
Yeah, well I can't tell everybody up and what I said, you know. So that's not the best possible thing to say.
Mm.
But these are the factors.
What are some of the lessons you guys learned of yourselves as coaches from this previous Para Games?
We told ourselves that we will try to score and change the training a bit on shooting on target.
Okay.
You know, like what you said, like that kind of tactics, you know, something that you can do while you're running, you turn and shoot kind of things. So we are planning some kind of
special weapon up your sleeve kind of
thing.
You can tell so, but then we just finished 3 days ago our closing ceremony for the Para Games, so we haven't sat down and talked about the next plan. Mm-hmm. But we randomly just always talk about what can improve in our training. And
you have to be different. If you're going to win the game, you have to be different. You have to do unique stuff. So that's what Edwin is trying to say. We will sit down and we'll actually re-look. We will analyze. We will analyze the performance. Mm-hmm. We have videos. And we have to change towards IPSA Asia World Qualifiers in December, because those are bigger opponents.
Big boys.
You know, we have Iran, Rio silver medalist. We have China, fifth placing. Yeah, China, 2008 Beijing Paralympics silver medalist, and also Rio fourth placing. We have Japan, you know. We have
Korea.
The heavyweights.
Yeah, the heavyweights. We will relook at our weaknesses and keep what's good.
How are the boys feeling ahead of the World Cup? Do you feel demoralized, or are they like, you know, just really pumped, really to get it going again?
We needed the gold medal to keep the momentum. Now that's gone. Boys are professionals, you know. It takes a few days to get away, you lost your gold medal, you know, stuff like that. And they are looking forward. They're actually promising themselves, you know. They're looking forward. They don't want to disappoint themselves. They don't want to disappoint the country. They don't want to disappoint the paymasters. They don't want to disappoint us as the coaches, because there's so much things put together to bring them to where they are today. There's some kind of a gratitude. They said, no, we're going to go all out. We're going to correct whatever we did, mistakes, you know. And we're going to do something, because the ultimate goal is at least third placing in Asia. That will bring us to Spain.
That was the coaches of the Malaysian blind football team, Edwin Rook and Sunny Salesh. If you'd like to check out more information about the team and their schedules, that sort of thing, do head over to facebook.com/Malaysian Blind Football. And that brings us to the end of this week's show, but just to remind you that if you want to check out the podcast, you can head over to our website www.bfm.my. Also, don't forget to download our latest app, which will give you all the latest updates. You can download it via Google Play or the App Store. My name is Daryl Ong, and this has been Bar None, the show that keeps you in touch with the ins and outs of the sporting world. Have a great weekend, and do join us again next week right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.